Welcome to the Jason's Voices podcast. On this episode,
tutto migre, ze bace, due bode.
I only need a meager serving of meat on the hibachi.
And now, your host, Jason Stevens.
Are we rolling?
Yes.
Welcome to the Jason's Voices podcast, episode 5. I am your host, Jason Stevens. You know me from such internet videos as the Christopher Walken Through series. I'm a frequent guest on beer and board games, as well as a variety of other things. Most recently, the Paul Harvey spoof, So God Made a Gamer. Check that out on YouTube if you don't mind. You can also find me at jasonsvoices.com. This podcast features 3 amazing guests. With me, as always, Aaron Yonda. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you. You know him from the Chad Vader series. You know him from currently Welcome to the Basement. And, of course, Beer and Board Games, Matt Sloan.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Matt, for that supercharged enthusiasm.
Am I up now?
Yes, my fourth guest, my third guest. There's only 3. My third guest here tonight. Some of you know my third guest as Randy on the Chad Vader internet series. Others know him as D&D Monster Man. Hello, Brad Knight.
Hello.
And welcome to your first episode of the Jason's Voices podcast.
I'm super excited.
Great. Try not to fuck anything up.
All right. Okay. I'll try.
Okay.
Jason, I'm your fourth guest.
Who are you?
My name's Marty.
Oh, Marty.
Can I plug myself?
Yeah. What are you doing
these
days?
I do an internet show called Reaping the Benefits.
Oh, really? What's it about?
We make paper mache boats.
Oh, wow. That doesn't...
And then we reap the benefits.
What are the benefits of a paper mache boat?
Sailing a paper mache boat.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, sorry. I have to...
Take your fucking boats.
Yes.
All of these boats. Get them the fuck out of here.
You will no longer reap benefits from these boats.
You're going to reap Aaron's foot up your ass.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry, Jason. Marty just shows up every once in a while. It's kind of annoying.
Oh, is he with you?
He just shows up.
You can easily get rid of him by making him sail away on his boats.
Okay. Well, sail away, Marty.
Okay. I love you.
All right. We can begin the show now that we've gotten...
It's a good thing that miniature squall blew up right when Marty needed to sail away on his boats.
That was very convenient.
It was very convenient.
Yeah.
Somebody was breathing into a microphone. So just be careful.
Breathing.
Yeah.
I guess I probably also shouldn't turn, right?
No, don't turn. Jason does that sometimes and it fucks everything.
Yeah. It fucks everything.
It ruins the show. It ruins the show.
It ruins the show. Another squall.
Song squall.
Squall just blew up.
Song squall. Isn't that an album by
That's a Celtic band.
It is. Squall song.
Song squall.
Songs. I thought it was squall song.
It is not.
What is squall song?
I have no idea.
Isn't that a thing?
It's one of Song Squall's songs.
That's confusing. Because if you're playing it on your XM radio and it comes up and it says Song Squall, Squall song, you would take your car to the dealership because it's broken.
Right, you'd have a dyslexic car, you'd think.
Yeah, you'd be like, what the fuck? I just bought this car.
Do you know the name of the lead singer of Song Squall?
No.
Squong Saul. That's his name.
Who has a brother named Pasquale.
Okay, now it's too much.
Yeah, I had to put a bullet in it.
Yeah. Okay, so this week on the podcast...
Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's what
you
I do.
You end the life of bits?
I'm hired to murder bits.
Bit executioner.
Which one of you hired him?
You're comedy reaping the benefits.
Yes.
You're the comedy reaper.
You can find the Jason's Voices podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it there to get the latest episodes as they're posted, or you can go to jasonsvoices.com and download them there. While you're at jasonsvoices.com, you can contribute to the podcast as well. A donation of $10 or more makes you an honorary contributor to the next week's podcast. And this week, we do have an honorary contributor, Stephanie Uke. Coming up in this episode, she has sent us something very, very funny. I think we'll all enjoy it, so we'll talk about that later.
I actually don't own any gloves right now, so I went out and I was chipping the ice with a shovel with no gloves on.
He's in between gloves.
And I realized after a while that the chipping was futile, so yeah. I walked down to the end of our block to get some sand out of the big bucket.
Yeah.
And then by the time I got back, my hands were actually frostbitten.
Wow.
I had to run them under warm water. And now they feel mushy and slightly like I burned them.
Okay. That's dangerous. Yes. How do you not have gloves?
I lost them and I haven't bought... I was using socks for a while.
Oh, come on now.
I was using socks on my hands.
That's ridiculous.
Can somebody please donate a pair of gloves for Brad?
Yeah, Brad's the one who needs the PayPal donation. Yes.
I'll give Brad. I have a spare pair of those yellow and red, like,
everyone does. Everyone has a spare pair of gloves.
I know. I've got like 9 pair of gloves.
I lost my spare too.
At some point, you have to go get some gloves, Brad.
At one point, Brad was wrapping his hands in old newspapers, but that just didn't work as well.
You run out of newspapers, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
We only get 2 a week.
Well, he had to save the newspaper for wiping his ass.
Right. Which is also frostbitten.
Oh, man. I'm glad that we were able to get you in on the podcast to get you out of the cold.
Yeah. I can't really grab anything right
That's
now.
That's okay. There's nothing for you to grab. So you're good. The next half an hour, you're not going to die. That's the good thing.
Until I go back out.
Yeah, then you're fucked. What does Valentine's Day mean to you, Aaron?
It means get to get a gift from my special lady and hang out and kiss.
Yeah.
We've been doing a Valentine's Day themed show on Welcome to the Basement, and so we did that this year as well. We watched the movie Love Story, 1970, Ryan O'Neal, Ally McGraw. It turned out to be a real good episode. But really, that's the only effect Valentine's Day has on my life. The wife and I don't celebrate it. We don't really do anything.
So you celebrated Valentine's Day this year with your friend Craig.
That's right. I do call it our romantic evening together. We shared a box of heart-shaped chocolates, and we snuggled up on the couch and watched a romantic movie while my wife filmed it.
Brad, what does Valentine's Day mean to you?
Valentine's Day actually makes me angry. Because
of course,
it's an artificial, commercially produced holiday that tells me when I'm supposed to be romantic.
Brad, this seems a bit hypocritical of you because I know that you are crazy about Christmas, and Christmas is way more commercialized than Valentine's Day.
It is, but Christmas has a meaning and a past with my family.
Okay, and Valentine's Day does not.
No, it does not. And in fact, I try to do something slightly off of Valentine's Day that is romantic as a protest.
Like, slightly off, you mean by a couple of days, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of days from Valentine's Day, that's where you measure, oh, here's Valentine's Day, let me look a couple of days, 2 or 4, and then schedule it.
Yeah.
Seems like kind of a pointless protest.
A lot of things I do are pointless.
Yeah, I mean, you and your girlfriend should, like, exchange winter clothing on Valentine's Day, because that might help you out. That might be a good way for you guys to celebrate Valentine's Day.
That's a good idea, Matt.
Okay. I'm here to help.
How do you think Valentine's Day is celebrated at a cocoa plantation in the deepest jungles of Bolivia? Think about it. Like, all the chocolates that we sell and buy and stuff here in America, like, those have to come from somewhere. Valentine's Day has a starkly different meaning to a 10-year-old child in Bolivia. Who works day and night in a cocoa
plantation.
It's his
busy time of year.
It is. He's like a Santa's elf.
Right. This is my Christmas. It's so stressful.
Get back to work.
Okay.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Get back to work.
Sorry.
Put your gloves on. Why? Where did you put your gloves?
I don't have any gloves. I lost them.
What about your spare gloves?
I also lost them. I'm feeling bad. I'm getting heat by it.
Sir, the boats have arrived to take the chocolate to America. It's Marty is here with his boats.
Excellent. Where is Marty?
Oh, hi. I'm here to pick up the chocolate.
Oh, thank you.
My
heavens.
Paper mache boats.
Oh, marvelous. Children, load up the chocolate into the...
Oh, no. The boats are sinking under the weight of the chocolate. It is sinking to the bottom of the sea.
Oh, no. This is horrible. What is happening?
Mr. Bossman, why are you changing nationality?
You shut up. Get back inside
the cave. He's not Bolivian.
The fabric of reality is collapsing.
No. He's okay. Is everything okay? Everything is fine.
This premise is not working anymore. We need the Comedy Reaper.
All right, moving right along.
I like to think that somewhere in prison on Valentine's Day, a big man who's abusing a smaller prisoner sexually, on Valentine's Day, he treats him right.
Yeah.
He gives him some chocolate. He gives him a nice meal. And the romance comes back.
Are you going to rape me tonight, Clarence?
No, not tonight.
Ah, thank goodness.
Little boo-boo. I have this for you tonight.
Oh, wow, some dirt from the yard.
That's right.
I could plant a flower seed in that.
There's chocolate mixed in that.
Oh, some chocolate in the dirt. You're the best.
You enjoy that. We're just going to sit and talk tonight. Tomorrow we go back to the ass ramming.
Oh.
Lights out.
I'm going to take these sheets off of my bed quick and just make a noose out of them.
Oh, no, you're not. I can feel you doing that. Come on. We're going to wrap it together in the sheets and snuggle.
I have to use the bathroom.
I'll watch.
Some days, old Clarence would get the better of little boo-boo. And then other days, little boo-boo. Well, most of the time, pretty much all the time, Clarence would get the best of little boo-boo. Except for Valentine's Day, which was still pretty awful for little boo-boo.
This has been Shawshank fan fiction.
A TV series called Do No Harm has just been canceled by NBC after only 2 episodes.
Oh, yeah, I saw a preview for that. It was like a retelling of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Except this looked really horrible and uninteresting. It was like this character that you're just like, well, I'll never like him. He's a complete asshole. There's nothing likable about him. I was like, yeah, that show's going to get canceled after 2 episodes.
Did you watch Jekyll?
Yes.
I loved it and until the last episode, and then I hated it.
I didn't see
it. I thought the last episode was so shitty.
I didn't get
If you
far.
Didn't see the last episode, you shouldn't. Because the last episode, it just kind of ruins the whole show. For me, it did. And then that show got canceled.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that show got canceled. Although, honestly, like, how can you run a show for 2 episodes and then cancel it?
I believe there have been shows that were canceled before they aired.
Well, I mean, I could see watching something and being like, wow, we really made a mistake. Let's not even air this or people will think we're complete idiots.
Or like advanced screenings, test screenings.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they do that with TV shows.
Oh, sure.
They're just so bad that, you know.
There was a show on when I was a kid. It was called Mr. Smith. And there was an orangutan who talked. He was like an intelligent, intellectual orangutan in a suit. And he talked. Like the first episode, they were like, oh my God, this orangutan talks. And they brought him into a big mansion and he was sitting behind a desk smoking a cigar and he was talking and he's wearing a suit.
They should replace the guy from Do No Harm with an orangutan who shifts personalities.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great.
And then the show probably would have took off.
They could have called it Orangutan Hospital.
Hello, I'm your doctor.
Holy shit, you're a fucking orangutan.
That's right. My name is Mr. Donsworthy. Dr. Donsworthy to you.
You're covered in hair.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'm actually quite intelligent.
I'd like to speak to a human.
I'm almost exactly a human. My DNA is 94%.
I would like to speak to the nurse who brought me in this room, if I could, please.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm a little put off by the fact that you're an ape.
Listen, don't push me, sir.
Is there a problem here?
Yes.
I'm the nurse who brought you in here.
Yes, nurse. I'm just a little
Hello,
put
Dr.
off.
Hello, Dr. Donsworthy.
Donsworthy.
Yes.
He doesn't like me because I'm an orangutan.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, sir, that you're not... perhaps you'd like a little snack?
No, I'm here because
I
my hemorrhoids...
There are some mashed bananas that are smeared on the wall over there. If you'd like to partake in those, that might make you feel a little better.
No, it wouldn't. I mean,
would you like to play with this iPad? This will teach you some simple symbols. And then
you can
request things.
No, I don't want...
Like a treat.
There's a tire hanging from the ceiling, if you're interested.
Who wants to get up on the tire? Get up on the tire.
I just
on want the tire.
But my hemorrhoid.
On the tire.
Ah!
Get on the tire now.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Get on the tire.
I'm on the tire.
There's a good boy.
Who's now, a good boy? Who's a pretty boy?
Nice job.
I'm a good boy, but I'm here because of my hemorrhoids, and yeah. I would like a human doctor.
Show us the sign for help. What's the sign
for
help?
I don't know.
Look at the iPad.
Is this...
Oh, look at the iPad.
Hold on. I dropped it. Hold on.
It's okay. Okay. It's shatterproof.
Okay.
Now I can treat your hemorrhoids.
Oh, that's a giant finger. Mm-hmm. Get it out of my ass.
Whoa, this makes me feel so primal.
Oh. Oh, shit. Get out of here.
Sir, I'm very sorry for Dr. Donsworthy's behavior, but it is Valentine's Day.
Sorry.
I was surfing the web today. I was doing some research for the show, Welcome to the Basement. I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but that's what I was doing. Just looking up potential movies to feature on the show, and mm-hmm. I came across a movie called Kama Sutra 3D. Which we probably won't be watching because that's a little racy for our show. But I was looking at the cast list, and I guess it's – I don't know if it's a porno, if it's like officially a porno or if it's just a sexy movie. But, you know, porn actors kind of have different names. You know, their names are like, you know, Dick Nasty or whatever.
Chad Slab Body.
Right. And the ladies have strange names as well. But the woman in this movie – Her name was Honey Demon. I can't imagine why she chose that name. I imagine things on the set get a little weird when Honey Demon is there. Okay, cut. Honey, that was great. It was a good take. Sweetie, are you awake?
I'm sorry. I was in a trance.
Okay, well, that was a great take. Very sexy. Your bosoms were bouncing to beat the band.
My bosoms are from the underworld.
Okay.
I think my dick is broken. Honey Demon, I think she broke my dick.
Are you okay, Lance?
The last scene.
Lance.
Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong.
Lance, you did drugs. Well, that's not acceptable on set.
I'm not using them now, though. I'm not using them for this porn. I mean, Kama Sutra 3D.
I could tell. Your performance was bad.
Can I have my heart back?
No, but I'll shoot honey from my pussy.
She's like a spider. Get me out of here. I want to go back to my biking career.
Have you ever been to a nude beach? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just was on my vacation in Hawaii.
Really? How was it?
Not as fun as you'd think.
Were there more women or more men?
Way more men. There were all kinds of scrotums hanging at various lengths. And I examined them all. I got good looks in at every penis and balls combination.
I thought you meant
there was.
I thought you meant physically examine them.
I did not physically examine them. And I think if anybody has balls that hang really low, they should get some sort of hairnet and truss them up before they go to the nude beach. Not just because it's unsightly, but you could have a serious accident. You're running, you're playing volleyball. Those things are swinging around like a lasso, and you could get them snagged.
Welcome to the high school cafeteria. I'm glad to see you on your first day.
Yes.
One thing is you're going to have to put a hairnet on those balls.
What?
Yeah, we can't have those
I'm
balls.
I'm 63.
Well, it's health code regulations.
Health codes.
If the balls get in
the cafeteria I used to work at, I would stir the soup with my balls.
Okay, sir, but we can't.
They're
allow
very
that
heat resistant. They used to call me old Teflon in the army.
Yeah, Principal Smith here.
Hi, Mr. Smith.
Hello. Oh, geez, boy, your testicles are out.
This is Mr. Bulbous.
Oh, Mr. Bulbous. Oh, yes, I saw your resume.
Oh.
Mr. Bulbous.
Very good. It's making the rounds.
Yes, Mr. Bulbous's resume is quite impressive.
But Mr. Smith, he has to wear a hairnet on his balls.
Preposterous, I say. I'm 63.
I'm afraid that we have to side with Mr. Bulbous on this, Nancy.
You make me wear them on my head.
Well, that's because you're only 49. Mr. Bulbous is near retirement age, and if we make him put a hairnet on his ball sack...
Excuse me.
Yes.
Can I get some of the goulash, please?
Oh, Jimmy'd like some goulash.
What? Mister, can Bulbous, I have some goulash?
Please serve up the goulash.
Certainly.
Just going to stick a fork in my goulash.
Tasty, isn't it?
He stabbed your balls.
Oh, he did. But I didn't feel a thing.
Are you drunk, Mr. Bulbous?
What?
Well, I can't stand for that. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave, Mr. Bulbous. Why, putting your balls into children's goulash and serving it to them, that's one thing. And I can overlook that. But if you're drunk, then you're fired.
This place is bogus. I'm out.
Nancy, could you please put a hairnet on your vagina?
I'm cooking the corn inside there.
Back in November, San Francisco approved a public nudity ban. Perhaps you heard about this. You can't expose your genitals any place in a public location in San Francisco. Well, a bunch of guys voiced their opinion about this law being passed by protesting naked. One of them was 48-year-old Richard Sierra. It's Richard, not Dick.
Sure.
They were very, very...
explicit.
They were very explicit about that. As an admitted inexperienced nudist, Richard Sierra said he was uncomfortable exposing himself and was using his hands to rearrange his business when a man walking a dog nearby confused his movements for masturbation. So the dog walker called the cops. The cops arrested Richard and charged him with a sex crime. And so the nudist fought the charges. Well, the police now say there's more to it than that. While the 48-year-old was bashful and he did keep his tank top on, he tried to fit in with the other naked men by adorning his genitals with jewelry, as male nudists are wont to do. Sierra attached a metal ring from a binder to his shirt and then looped the ring over his penis, which the dog walker thought appeared masturbatory. Also, the dog walker thought he saw the nudist using some form of lubricant, which the nudist claimed was prescription eczema cream, which he was applying to a different part of his body.
I think you've once again shared a false news story with
us. No, it's true. And this nudist was acquitted of the charges. A jury deliberated for 24 hours. 12 people sat down for a day.
12 angry men.
They were probably pretty angry.
Henry Fonda was the single holdout.
They had.
I don't believe that man was masturbating himself that day.
Do you think this guy like gets home and goes like, "That's never gonna happen to me again"? But he puts on two pair of pants now, just in case one of them catches fire.
You know? He's the unlikeliest nudist.
That would be a good show to replace that medical drama on NBC.
Tonight on The Unlikely Nudist.
Oh, this eczema. It's really bothering me.
Doctor, your skin is flaking all over the place.
I better take off my clothes in public.
Come on,
Why
boy.
Would I do
Come
that?
Come on, boy. Oh, my God.
Oh, this is me just put the ring around my... Oh,
what?
This... I just have to rearrange
that man is
things.
Masturbating.
Maybe the scrotum could go above the penis.
Hello, police.
Yes, I'm on Lombardi Street. There's a man here who's masturbating.
Ashamed of my scars.
Oh, is he that new doctor?
Yes.
It's really.
We'll be right there.
I have an alternate personality of a man. Police sirens. What's going on here?
You, put your hands on your head.
Oh, I'm not touching myself.
Put your hands on your head. Cover yourself up. Put your hands on your head. I said cover yourself up.
You're making it impossible.
Taser.
2 months later in court.
We, the jury, find this man to be not guilty of any crimes whatsoever. Why is there a dog in the courtroom?
That dog is nude. Oh, my God, it's masturbating.
You, dog, put your paws on your head.
Who put that binder ring around that dog's penis?
Taser.
2 months later in dog court.
We, the jury, find this dog to be not guilty of masturbating through a binder.
Who let this cat in here? That cat is masturbating.
Taser.
2 months later in cat court.
We, the jury, find this cat to be not guilty.
That donkey is masturbating.
Put your hooves above your head.
6 years later in Ladybug Court.
We, the jury, find Ms. Ladybug to be guilty as charged. She will be executed.
I am from the future.
This robot is from the future. We're about to execute this ladybug as per ladybug law.
Don't do that. Horrible things will happen. Oh, let me put this ring over my appendage.
Oh, taser.
250 years later in robot court.
Jason, does your podcast have an ejector seat?
Yes. Oh, that was some Cloud Atlas shit there, buddy.
Our next story comes to us from our honorary contributor this week, Stephanie Yuke. And this story is a couple of weeks old. I hope you haven't heard this yet because it's really good. Tony and LaDonna Land were resting peacefully, 7 p.m., in their bedroom in their North Fort Myers, Florida home. All of a sudden, there's a noise like thunder coming from the roof of their home. So Tony Land goes outside, right? And he discovers 21-year-old carnival worker Greg Bruni running around on their roof completely naked. The naked carny then jumps down on top of the homeowner, knocking him to the ground by hitting him in the shoulder. The carny then runs into the house, pulls a 72-inch flat-screen TV from the wall, and then spills the contents of a wet-dry vacuum cleaner onto the floor. About this time, Tony Land is outside. He calls 911 on his phone and he says, quote, "I don't know who the hell he is. He's naked and he ran into my damn house." About this time, the homeowner's wife grabs her 38 caliber handgun, because everybody in Florida is armed, remember, and she starts popping off caps at the crazy naked carny. As if he were like Carneo of the Matrix, he dodges the bullets and it comes out of this completely unscathed. He falls to the floor of the living room and, aroused by the excitement, begins to masturbate before getting up and running toward the son's bedroom where all of the other guns are kept. So the husband grabs a 12-gauge shotgun, not from the son's room, I presume.
From his secondary gun room.
Exactly. And finds the naked carny lying on the floor of their son's bedroom, rubbing the son's clothing on his own face. The husband, still on the phone with dispatch, says, "He's laying on my floor. He run into my fucking house naked, hooting and hollering and tearing shit up." Then he holds the carny at gunpoint until the cops show up. Finally, cops arrive. When they attempt to take the carny into custody, the carny begins to flail about wildly, shouting gibberish. He falls to the ground in the living room, sucks up some of the dirty vacuum cleaner slop, spits it back out, and attempts to escape, so they taser him. It's about this time that the police notice that the carny has pooped on the floor near the doorway and in the hallway of the home. And then they took him to the hospital, and they ran some tests to see what he was on. But I was unable to find the results of the test.
Bath salts.
I think so.
And the funny part was, he was just doing the show that he puts on every night at the carnival.
Yeah, he's just doing his
entertainment
act.
Of children.
Hey, he's like, "I'll take this on the road."
He thought they would like that.
Like, was he just had too much cotton candy.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. Like, some people, it gives you cavities. Other people, it makes you take your clothes off, jump on a roof, masturbate in a living room, suck up a wet dry vac.
And by cotton candy, I mean the synthetic drug that carnies make in old bathtubs to consume after hours. You know, the thing the wife was shooting at him, it's a good thing she missed, because it wouldn't do any good anyway, because once you hit a carny with a bullet, he just starts walking the opposite direction. and then he makes a little dinging noise, and then you know.
If he's wearing a t-shirt with a red star on it and you remove all of the red from the star, you get a prize.
Like a man just comes out of the bushes and hands you a stuffed animal.
Yeah, he's like,
the only way you can truly defeat him is if you have a water pistol and you shoot water in his mouth until his head explodes.
Yeah, see, the star thing is rigged, because as soon as you shoot the red out, he starts bleeding back on it.
Yeah.
So yeah. You can never win that.
And another carny comes out and says, like, no, there's still red now. I'm to tee that red now. They're manipulative people.
Sometimes carnies come to your house and they stand like six of them on top of each other, and you have to try to throw a baseball at them and knock them all over.
One time, this was way before I was married, I met a woman carny, and I took her home,
and we tried to have sex. I tried to have sex with her because it looked like I could fit my penis in there. But then at a different angle, I noticed her vagina was like all flattened out. Like I couldn't, there was no way I could. Instead, we just played bulldozer game all night. I kept pushing her off the bed and coins would fall down against the wall. So thank you very much to Stephanie Uke for giving us that story. It was truly remarkable. And if you want to donate to the show and make a suggestion for something for us to talk about, you can go to jasonsvoices.com and do that there.
That is a pickup line that works with a woman. You say, hey, baby, you want to come back to my place and play bulldozer game? That works every time.
What if you say, would you like to come back to my place and play a bulldozer game?
No, that does not work.
Would you like to come back to my place and play some bulldozer games?
Nope.
It has to be, would you like to come back to my place and play bulldozer games?
Oh, yes.
The Pope quit.
Well, that's the whole point, is that you're the Pope for life. Why do you take the job in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, God takes the job away from you when he kills you.
Yeah, and I've seen the Borgias. I know those popes live it up. They have secret sex. They go into secret passages, and they have people murdered. This is what I learned by watching the Borgias television show. And so why would Pope Benedict leave that behind? This is what Pope Benedict should have done. He should have issued a list of demands to the Catholic world. Say, if these demands are not met, I will cease being Pope. But if they are, like, I want my own Ben and Jerry's flavor. Someone... All the Catholics of Vermont called Ben and Jerry's.
Colbert has one, and Jimmy Kimmel has a flavor. I'm the Pope.
I would prefer raspberries and cookie pieces in my flavor.
Here is the press conference of that list of demands. The Pope is speaking in Latin, and there is a translator.
Domino anni domine.
I want a special kind of Domino's pizza.
Aste questo la brio.
I would like ostrich con queso with brie.
Tutto migre, zebace, due bode.
I only need a meager serving of meat on the hibachi.
Due brische, tanto monte.
And two briskets. El Monte.
Bene.
Good.
What flavor would that Pope Ben & Jerry's ice cream be?
Raspberry and cookie pieces.
What would it be called?
Yeah, what would it be called? It'd have to be called like Pope Chocolate Dict or something.
Pope Bon Bon Addict.
There you go. Nailed it.
Oh, that's great. Raspberry bonbons and cookies.
Yep. Pope Bon Bon Addict.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Jason's Voices Podcast.
Jason's Voices Podcast.
Jesus Christ is Podcast.
Jason's Ice is Ice Skates.
Jesus Christ on Ice Skates.
That has been the Jason's Voices Podcast, episode number 5. Go to jasonsvoices.com to make your donation and contribution for our next episode. Aaron, what you got cooking?
I'm always on the beer and board games. We have a lot of fun. Next up, we're playing Enchanted Palace and the Child Awareness Game on Saturday of this week, which is the 16th of February.
And can people watch that live?
You can go to beerandboard.com/live, and you can get in on the live show.
Awesome. Brad, what you got cooking?
I just do a lot of improv, Jason.
Yeah.
So come see me live if you're in the Madison area.
All right.
At Monkey Business Institute.
Monkey Business Institute. You can find Brad there. Matt, what's new with you?
I ain't doing shit.
What about the
I'm on the Child Awareness Enchanted Palace show.
Yeah, what about Basement Times?
Basement Times. Next episode, Welcome to the Basement. We're watching the Norman Mailer directed Tough Guys Don't Dance, which is quite a movie.
That is it for the Jason's Voices podcast.
Fuck.
What do I usually say at the end of this thing?
Keep, I'm Christopher Walken. Jason's voice is bad.
You need a catchphrase.
Bones in the saucepan.
Brilliant.
Bones in the saucepan, everybody.
All right, good night. This has been the Jason's Voices Podcast.
Check out more of Jason's Voices at jasonsvoices.com. Durr.